Good afternoon. What time is it? It is 12:33, and you're listening to Campus Connection, our call-in show with members of the Petersburg School District. I'm Taylor Heckert, and joining us today in Studio 1 is Robin Taylor, our
Hello.
Superintendent. Hi. And Sarah Holmgren, our school board president.
Hello.
Welcome for being here. Thanks for being here. I don't know what I just said. If you're listening and you have a question, you can call our station at 907-772-3808. And we have a school board meeting coming up, so let's talk all sorts of things school board. Robin, let's talk about Jamie Cabral, who recently got a big award.
So exciting. Jamie was identified as the State of Alaska 2026 Assistant Principal of the Year. So super exciting. What an honor for him, but incredibly well-deserved, as I've had the opportunity to know of Jamie for probably 20 years while I've been in education. When I was actually the assistant superintendent in Sitka, we tried to bring him on board in Sitka, but he was already committed to Petersburg.
And Jamie
got in first.
Jamie does so many things in the school district too.
Yes.
He is a man who does all sorts of things. I remember when I worked on my story for that, everyone had a different thing that he does.
Yes.
It sounds like he's pretty integral to the school district.
Yes, and just the life of an assistant principal and a principal in general, it's hard to truly put on paper all of the duties and responsibilities that come with those positions. Every day is different, and what I really appreciate that I've seen with Jamie is he enters every day with like that 100% let's go get it done Tiggerific type of attitude, and he emulates that, and students and staff both respond positively with him.
Yeah, that's a good analogy or a good example. I would say he definitely has no Eeyore in him.
Yeah.
we're going with Pooh Bear and friends.
Yeah. Or you could say the Tasmanian devil on a positive note.
Yes, constantly going.
Yeah.
And then also coaches on top of all his regular
coaches.
Business.
He's in charge of our Indian education program, so supporting our students that way as well. Just he's got his hands in a little bit of everything. And I know for me, as I came on board last year, one of the goals I really pushed for Jamie was to challenge himself to really become now the educational leader, and he has stepped up to do that in supporting all of the professional development work we're doing. He's really pulled up his sleeves, done a lot of learning about visible learning and the research behind that and the impact in the classroom, and he's really worked heavily with our two teacher leaders, Hannah Smith and Tim Shumway, and helped. Collectively, they've been doing teacher observations in classrooms, giving feedback to colleagues, and we're starting to see some good impact.
Wow. So he's really involved both very visibly and super behind the scenes as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it sounds like it was a very well-deserved award.
It was.
And a great celebration when he came back to town.
Yes, he really was humbled and didn't really want to have that much recognition coming towards him, but we kind of just kept
pushing it on him.
It's going to happen, Jamie, whether you like it or not.
I think it's always hard when you are an outstanding human and you get those awards. It kind of goes against what you've been, you know, you're always working for others. And then to accept, I'm sure it's to accept an award like that is very humbling, but also feels a little awkward because he's always celebrating the others, you know, and to have it turned around on you is probably a little intimidating.
Yeah. And you know what? What great recognition for our school community with Jamie receiving that award this year. And then last year was when Principal Khan was recognized as the 2025 National Distinguished Principal for the Elementary Association. So we definitely have greatness among us.
Including you. Robin also got as a principal, so we can't forget. We have some stellar upper management, for sure.
So many awards in the district. Mm-hmm. Hard to keep track, and that's a good problem, I guess.
Yeah, and even when you look at our teachers in the district, how many of them have been finalists or received similar accolades for whether it's science teaching, math teaching, teaching in general. We have a number of teachers who are right up there. I would say all of them, but we have a number who have hit that recognition status.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, staying on the topic of staff, we have a new staff member coming.
We do. Our staff member will be arriving on Thursday, Sharon Balkos. She is an international hire that we've been working on since late June or early July. Thankfully, we were in process before these most recent international hire changes came about, so we are not being imposed with that $100,000 entrance fee. But anyway, she should be arriving on Thursday with her family, so we're excited to get a few more individuals into the school system.
Yeah, we're pretty excited. I'm very glad that I'm not sure we would have been able to afford to have done it if it was happening now.
Yeah.
With that $100,000 extra fee on top of the fees that are already paid to bring an international qualified teacher here. It's not for lack of effort in trying to find teachers within our own country. It's when you don't have enough teachers to go around already. You do have to look beyond your borders, and that's what happened here. And she's highly qualified. She's also been teaching, had taught previously in the United States and New Mexico. Mm-hmm. But I think it's important to remember that we're not churning out SPED teachers. We're, you know, the lack of people going into that career is now is really affecting not only nationwide, but clearly affecting us even locally, because she'll be our second international hire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for context, for folks who might be listening and aren't aware, there was a recent change in international visas.
H-1B visas.
Which would cost... how much more? $100,000?
$100,000.
Mm-hmm. But that did not happen to us because we were already in the process of hiring her. Yes. And so she will be teaching special education at what level?
She'll be at the elementary school.
Very cool. Well, that's super exciting that she's going to be coming on then. Awesome. Let's see, what else do we have on our list? You want to talk about Veterans Day?
Veterans Day, yes. The behind-the-scenes work is happening to celebrate Veterans Day, again, similar as we did last year, where the parade lineup for our veterans will be outside of the Children's Center up there. They'll be led by the fire truck and police along, is that Dolphin Street, in front of the elementary school. I believe we have folks reaching out to the Quilts of Valor individuals who have been working on those quilts to let them know that we plan to do that as well. And we'll have the middle and high school band out there like we have before. So it's what a great way to just honor and recognize our veterans. That will be at 9:00 in the morning on Veterans Day, November 11th. I believe that's a Tuesday this year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, because I'm new to town, I'm very excited to hear about this. It sounds like it's a big celebration.
It is. It's a really nice way to honor our local veterans. And I think what was heartfelt for me last year was, I stood behind the table where the Quilts of Valor were happening and watching just the emotions come across our veterans and their family when those quilts were provided to individuals. It's something you don't see in all communities, to see that level of honor and recognition to our local individuals. That was powerful for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have had that going for a while. We used to do a veterans assembly inside, and then when COVID happened, we kind of reinvented it by doing it outside, and it was so well received by some of our older veterans that where physically it's a little harder to get into the gym, just even, you know, a little bit challenging. So in their cars, in the parade, just felt very comfortable for many of them. And we've just kind of stuck with that, I think, because of that. You know, our younger ones are a little more spry, but some of our older veterans, I think it's just more comfortable for them to be in their car. And then, the Quilts of Valor, I don't know if you're familiar with it. Some people in the community probably are quite familiar with it because they participate in it and sew them, and then they present them to anyone who's been a veteran, and they started with an older population first and then have kind of been working through there. But we do have a surprising number of veterans in our community. I think it was upwards of 10% of our population.
Wow.
So, it's pretty high here, well over 300. And I don't know how many have already been handed out over the years. Randy's already had was given to him a few years ago. But, you know, that we always have more veterans moving into town. So if they haven't already hit them, they'll find them.
And it seems from my observation that each quilt I observed being handed out was made specifically for that individual.
Yeah. there was some strong, yeah, there's intent behind it instead of just churning them out.
Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful tradition.
It is. Yeah.
And what else I think is powerful on that parade is that the elementary students line, well, elementary lines in front of the elementary and then a little in the high school go further down by where the Catholic Church is. The elementary students in their classrooms, they create posters that they're holding up that recognize our veterans. And some of them I saw create things that when the cars are stopped, they may go and provide stuff to the cars as well.
Yeah, it's kind of neat.
That sounds so cute and really beautiful. So yes. That will be Veterans Day, 9 a.m.
Sure. Veterans Day, 9 a.m. Yep.
Okay. Something to look forward to then. As we think of the school board meeting coming up, we have a vacant seat. Sarah, would you like to talk about that?
No one threw their hat in the ring during the election, so that was kind of sad. So what happens next is we're still a board of four, and we will be taking letters of interest from anyone who's interested in serving on the board, and they will serve until the time of their appointment, until next fall, and they will have to then be on the ballot to be elected. So it is a one-year or a little less than a one-year appointment. And so it's a great time to try it out, see if it's something that you feel like you can commit to and spend, you know, your free time helping us navigate the world of school district. I would say it's a pretty enjoyable board. We're pretty cooperative with each other. You know, there's been times in the past where we haven't all agreed, but that's okay. You know, and it's, I would say my time on the board has been mostly great. And so I would encourage people that you don't necessarily have to have a child in the district. You just have to have a genuine interest and love of making sure you can help us navigate the different things that a board has to. And our focus is always budget and policy. That is where we are supposed to be. So not only the policies of the school board, but also the annual budget and how money is spent. And anything other than that, you're getting into the weeds where you need to let the administrators do their job and their teachers do their job. But a lot of times we're sounding board for parents that we just try and, you know, encourage them to go talk to their child's teacher before going on to the principal and the superintendent. So it is a unique role, especially if you're a parent of a child in the district. But it doesn't mean you have to have someone in the district. You just have to have a genuine interest in supporting the district at the board level.
And if someone is listening and they're like, maybe I want to submit a letter of interest, I don't know, can you give me an idea of what a time commitment it is and maybe what qualities would mm-hmm. be good for someone to run for the board?
So we do have our standard meeting each month, which runs anywhere from an hour to probably at the most 2 hours. We do have actually a policy that says if we're going to go beyond that, we all have to vote and agree to stay, and we do not go past 3 hours. I think that the theory behind that is no good decision is made when you're exhausted. So you have at least an hour of a meeting, 2 hours once a month, but you also have board prep. You get your package. Usually Mara has sent that out on Thursday or Friday of the Tuesday before the meeting. So usually over the weekend is when I read through everything. You can contact either our superintendent or our director of finance if you have any questions about financial items. You know, try and get some of those questions answered ahead of time, unless you want to bring them up during the board meeting. So that's the time commitment the weekend mm-hmm. before. And then occasionally we do have special work sessions when it comes to curriculum, adoption. Instead of spending 2 hours on that at a regular board meeting, we'll have a work session so it can be a little more casual of a Q&A with the staff. That usually happens in the spring. So you've got a few hours there. But
committee work.
And some committee work. All of us serve on some subcommittees. So you're probably looking at the most, maybe 3 to 4 hours a month if it's busy, and sometimes it's less. July, we are silent or we don't have a board meeting, but because the school district is, you know, unless it's maintenance items, the kids are not there, of course. But I would say if you can feel like you can commit between 3 and 5 hours a month, then you're probably safe, you know, but that would be a not unreasonable period of time to commit and expect to spend as a board member.
Mm-hmm. And then is there a deadline for these letters of interest?
Well, we don't have one now, but I think we will. Maybe we'll talk about it tonight and hope that someone will submit. But I think we'll probably leave it open-ended at this point because we didn't have any write-in candidates. And so in order to do that, you can go onto the district's website, which is pcsd.us, and go under the school board tab. And there you can find, either you can email it directly to me, but preferably to the administrative assistant, Mara Latomsky. Her email's on there too. And that way she gets it and she can disseminate it out to the entire board, which is kind of nice. But we would end up having a special meeting. If we have any applicants, we won't wait necessarily until the next board meeting to address that. So if someone is particularly interested, we might just have a special meeting between now and our November meeting to try and accommodate the person. We do have an annual our state conference is in November of each year. That might be a little tight to get someone to it this year, but it's possible. It has excellent training. They also do online training. So if anyone's just intimidated about doing it, there is a lot of support from our state association for knowing what your roles are, what does everything mean. They have even Robert's Rules classes so that you know what to expect, what you can and what you can't do. But they're very good at training board members. In fact, I think it's probably one of the better trainings I've ever gone through and consistently done continuing education for training than any of the other boards I've been on, because it's just so specific to what we can't, you know, what a school board member can do.
Mm-hmm. Anything else to note when it comes to trying to get folks to write a letter of interest?
I don't know. I just hope someone's willing to step up. It's hard. I know everybody's busy. It's hard to commit to more time away from family and friends and other obligations, but it really is an important board to exist and to help the community. So if you do have that extra time, or if you're giving up, you know, other obligations, you're finding yourself in a different phase of life and you can give up, you know, 3 to 5 hours a month, then it's a worthy cause for sure.
Okay. Anything else of note on the agenda for tonight that we should be talking about?
I will say I'm the school calendar for next year. Robin's already got it on the docket, which I'm like, oh my gosh, didn't we just? But she's plowing on ahead, and it's great. So for people that are out in the community, you might have gotten an email to say, hey, what are your thoughts and your feedback on that? I know it's already a year and a half off, but
People want to plan.
They do. And so it's like, take a look at it now. And, you know, we do revolve to a certain degree around school activities and testing, so that the majority of the students can be present, and not have the things interfere. So take a look at it. And if you do have any feedback, then go ahead and take that survey so that the district office can get that feedback. But otherwise, we already have it out.
An excellent participation rate on the survey. I think when I had last looked, we had over 130
Ooh.
Respondents for the survey that went out to the general public. I did one that was specific just to staff to get their input on in-service days and work days, and we had over 75% of the teaching staff completed that and gave their input. So the draft that the board will be looking at tonight really is a strong representation of the overall input that we received. And we definitely know we're never going to appease all parties, because that just is not
possible.
It's not possible. But the draft that's being presented tonight is weighs in favor of the majority as they responded. And the big thing is the majority, both staff and the community at large, well, I think people enjoyed the later start week. Now they're kind of realizing that we're going to be getting at it in June. And so the majority have actually said, put us back to where we were in prior years. Part of the reason, though, this year we did that later start was also related to the construction projects, to make sure we had time to get that completed to be in the building.
We also have on the agenda just the budget committee calendar, which, you know, we've done different things in the past, tried to involve more community members, but so much of our funding is tied to specific things that it doesn't lend itself to be very flexible. And I know that some community members were kind of frustrated, not frustrated at the district, but just frustrated realizing how much of our money, nope, you can only spend it on this when maybe we have a greater need somewhere else. But we are, district superintendent Taylor has worked up a budget committee calendar so that those, at least within the district, know what the process is going to be, and try and get through it for even the following school district year with the information that we have right now. So it's just kind of nice to have that calendar out already for people to, if they're interested. But it's going to be challenging, again, unless something drastically changes at the state level, because we're certainly not going to count anything on federally to change. If we get the status quo, that'd be great. But at the state level, I don't anticipate anything different until we have a different administration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and really the acknowledgement for all the work behind that is goes to Shannon.
Oh, sorry, Shannon. our director of finance. Yes.
And if folks are interested in any of this information, this is all available online on the board packet, which you can find on the school district website. In our final moments, are we missing anything else of note ahead of tonight that folks should know about?
We have a big volleyball tournament this weekend. Oh, yes. I know Mr. Cabral would want me to do a shout out for that big volleyball tournament. And then we have the Fall into Reading campaign going on. Our students are reading so many books. It's great.
I saw some numbers on page count. Elementary school is reading a lot of pages.
Yeah. Leanne had to put extra zeros on the thermometer.
Oh, so nice. That's a good problem.
How the students are doing. So really happy about that.
Yeah, I don't know if they're doing senior acknowledgement on this weekend on Saturday night for volleyball.
I don't remember.
I don't know why I think that, but I shouldn't have said anything because I'm not for sure, because I thought this is the only time we're going to get to see them. But, come out and watch the volleyball matches. There's going to be several teams in town, as I understand.
Yeah, Mr. Cabral today in our admin meeting said 23 matches starting Thursday night going through Saturday, with a break in their Saturday to allow people to go to the
Oktoberfest.
Yes. Oh. What is the word I'm looking for? Oktoberfest. So he also is still looking for volunteers to help with scoring and all sorts of fun stuff. So if you are looking for a great way to spend some fun time up at Petersburg High School this weekend, reach out to Mr. Cabral.
Okay, perfect. Well, I think that's all the time we have for today. We'll end on that note. You've been listening to Campus Connection with Superintendent Robin Taylor and School Board President Sarah Holmgren.